Turn with me this morning to the 30th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I guess we'll begin in verse 12. It said, "Wherefore, thus saith Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as a breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall it be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, No, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." He has said a whole bunch here. But he's looking at the Lord in this respect. Lord, hand out judgment, but not in your wrath. And that is a deep mystery as to how in all the commotion that is in this old world that God always meets out judgment or justice in the exact amount where it ought to be placed. We as Christian always, our prayer is that, Lord, don't give us the punishment we deserve. May it be just enough that it would turn us. We mentioned the other day, it turn us, Lord, and we'll be turned. But this is what the judgment of the Lord does. He is a God of judgment. We're even given an example as parents that we ought to judge in the proper manner, not just punish a child to make him mad or bring him to wrath, but use good judgment. And our example is the Lord himself. He does that in exact measures. I was thinking when looking at some of this, I was thinking about the Israelite people down in Egypt. Lord always does it in the exact amount and at the exact time. When it come time to bring the children of Israel up out of Egypt, he said, get ready, get your clothes on, get your shoes on, keep them on. It's going to be time to leave out. That judgment has been issued forth. not only on the people of God, but upon the world. The measure is always exact. He'll do it until his purpose has been satisfied always. And the Lord will wait. That's a strange word, isn't it? He's going to wait until he gets it done. Always wait. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. So he punishes to the exact amount, especially the people of God. He always corrects in the exact manner. We're always looking for mercy. He is Lord of mercy. After the punishment, after the chastisement, always is mercy. He'll only whip us just so long. And then mercy comes. Blessed are all they that wait for him. So there's waiting on both sides, on both parts. When it is enough, the Lord waits in to be gracious unto his people when they've been exactly punished to the extent that is necessary to turn them. Isn't that marvelous thing? How that he is a God of judgment. We have a little problem ourselves, and we're challenged in the scripture, especially two places, that we be careful when we punish our children, that we do it in an exact amount. I see this all the time now, especially the people don't punish their children. They just keep letting them go, and it's such a drastic thing that they are bringing upon their children that they don't teach them judgment. Cause them to understand that they must do right. Teach them righteousness. Outside that, they'll not know it. God is just in bringing punishment upon the people. We always deserve, and then once again I say we're always looking for grace. That is our prayer, that grace would be there always for us. In the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verse 23, he said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. This is the very reason that God must mete out punishment. If he doesn't do it, it'll not happen. That's just the way of man. He is in the path of no return. If the Lord doesn't turn him, he'll not be turned. If he doesn't punish him, he'll not have the opportunity then to be gracious unto him. But God must correct his people that he might show mercy upon them. Otherwise, be no mercy, would be no grace. It would all be futile. So God is a merciful God. He said in verse 24, he said, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Right. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Well, if he done what we deserve, that's what would happen. He'd bring us nothing. Matter of fact, we never would have been. It would have ended in the very beginning. The the Lord's always gracious. The promise was, I'm going to save me a people. They're going to turn them. I'm going to punish them until it is right. Until they will love me. That's the same principle we have with our children. We punish them just right if we have good judgment, that they might love us, because we punish in love, and God punishes people in the same love. That is our perfect example. Lord, over and over and over, all through the scripture, we could just went many places. Over and over, punishes his people in the proper manner. Always just enough. Not too much, just enough, always. And he turned his people, pour out their fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not upon thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. Lord, if you're going to judge, judge us all in a perfect manner. In the book of Habakkuk, the 3rd chapter, verse 2, he said, O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. That is always our prayer, that the God of mercy would have mercy upon us. Always chastising to the perfect amount. Said God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Just rest on these things. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. That's some language, isn't it? Got horns coming out of his hand. Power, power, power to turn, power to save. Power always to correct his people in the proper manner. Some power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and everlasting mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers, and the mountains saw thee, and they trembled. Isn't that something? Even the mountains understood. And the water passed by the deep, uttered his voice, and lifted up his hands on high. the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation at the light of thine air as they went, and as the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation, thou didst thresh a heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou wouldest the head put out the house of the wicked by discovering the foundations unto the neck. Always perfect. He is always moved with mercy. Why does he punish the heathen? In mercy. God will remove them from his people. It's mercy. It's grace. More than we could ever imagine. Always to the perfect measure.
The Lord teaches us to judge ourselves, but even then, we have our secret sins. And David's prayer was, save me from my secret sins. And those secret sins, some of them are secret to us. We really do not know when we commit those sins that we are committing a sin. But sometimes they're secret to us because we just simply refuse to confess them. But when God deals with us, isn't that what the writer says? No chastisement for the time seemeth to be joyous but grievous. But afterward, what does it do? Yeah, it brings forth that principle of righteousness. He says, in all of them that are exercised therewith. God not only knows how and why and when and how much and so forth, but he knows exactly what to do to correct his people and bring us again to those pathways of righteousness, and does it all for his name's sake.